Victory or death!
Victory or death! Victory or death! Victory or death! Victory or death!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Radio Free Virginia. I'm your host, Hank Reardon, the voice of freedom behind enemy lines here in the Commonwealth of Virginia, bringing you the Patriots, the information you need to stay in the fight to preserve your liberty. This is episode 23-07, the seventh episode of 2023. I'm going to talk about a couple different things today. One of the things is what has actually passed and been signed or vetoed by Governor Glenn Youngkin. I'm going to share with you a clip of the doddering dementia patient who is still railing about January 6th at a commencement address. I don't remember what university it was, Brown or something up in Washington, D.C. And then also his vice president yammering on again about time. And this isn't an old clip, this is a new clip. But yeah, I wanted to share with you what's going on there. And I want to talk about America in general and, you know, this general malaise, gaslighting, whatever. I don't know. So this is from the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Governor Glenn Youngkin vetoed five bills that he could not persuade the General Assembly to amend last month and signed a dozen others, including legislation to block children's access to pornographic websites and allow Dominion Energy to recover the cost of its massive offshore wind farm. Come on, really? we're going to help Dominion Energy, a very large company, recover its offshore wind farm costs. Yeah, that's great. So it's not paying for itself? Wait, I thought this stuff paid for itself. The legislation that Youngkin vetoed Friday included two identical bills carried by Republican leaders in both chambers meant to amend a pilot program for underground electric transmission lines to add a project in Fauquier County. So my guess is that's a plan to get as much of the lines that are above ground underground, which I've said for a long time, in a state that has so many trees, this isn't an issue in places like, Arizona, but here the power outages are caused by power lines being above ground and trees falling on them. It's typically what happens, knocks them out, and then we have a problem. So but either case, that got vetoed. However, the governor appeared to be aiming at a Democrat, Senator Scott Surovelle, Democrat of Fairfax. He had persuaded the sponsors of the bills, Jill Vogel and Michael Webert, both Fauquier Republicans, to include an electricity distribution line along Route 1 in Fairfax County in the bills they had introduced. The bills had passed both chambers with no opposition. I'm just dumbfounded that the governor would veto legislation carried by leaders in both chambers without a single no vote, said Surovelle, vice chairman of the Senate Democratic Caucus. Youngkin blamed the veto on the addition of the distribution lines in Fairfax, which he said would create an ill-advised and ill-conceived precedent that could drive up the cost of electricity for consumers. You know, actually, he's not wrong. These create perverse incentives, and they basically are little carve-outs. Oh, that's my little special thing that I did over here. It's ridiculous. And Fairfax, nobody likes Fairfax. No, unless you live there. I don't even think people live there like Fairfax. So it's basically a housing area for Washington, D.C. Politicians and bureaucrat scum. So whatever. The governor said the legislature would rely on local governments to make those decisions, but Surovelle said that the Fairfax and Northern Virginia Chambers of Commerce had both urged the addition of distribution line needed for a bus rapid transit line in the Route 1 corridor. He said the provision left it up to Fairfax to reach an agreement with Dominion on the cost of the project. This is ridiculous, you know. The free market should be paying for this junk, not the taxpayers, not you and I. Youngkin, who continued, all of it. If the free market can't find a way to pay for these, things, then the government shouldn't be doing it. The government wants to create tax incentive or tax breaks if these providers such as Dominion or AEP or the fiber companies or whatever to put these things in. Okay, great. But not out of the actual budget. I mean, I don't know about you, but I pay taxes every year. I owe taxes more than what I've already paid to the state of Virginia every dang year. For what? For junk like this. Youngkin, who continues to court national political profile after saying he will not run for president this year, also said he vetoed the bill because of his concern about inflation caused by Washington and the potential for unseen expenses for consumers from cost overruns on such projects. Yup. He doesn't have a clue, Surville said. Well, sorry, Surville. You don't get your pet project. The governor also vetoed twin bills with bipartisan support to reduce the minimum acreage required for a locality to participate in the state's business-ready site programs. The bills proposed by Delegate Ellen Campbell, Rockbridge, Republican of Rockbridge, and Senator Cree Deeds, Democrat Charlottesville, would have reduced the minimum site size from 100 acres to 50 acres. Basically, Youngkin didn't like that. I don't think they should have any of these special programs. I know that all states do it, and that's the problem. That's the reason we have to have programs like this, because other states are doing it. And so if you got a company that's like, well, I want to move to either Tennessee or I want to move to Virginia, which one's going to give me a better deal or tax breaks or incentives or blah, blah, blah. And then that it creates this, you know, draw. You know, we've seen it with Amazon. We've seen it with lots of things. But that's what these programs are. So this program that they're talking about has a 100-acre minimum, which is a lot of land. I mean, you think about, you know, most houses are on between a tenth of an acre to an acre. So 100 of those, that's huge. I mean, take the one of the largest developments you've got in your area, it's probably not even 100 acres. So 100 acres is a lot of land. A place like an Amazon distribution center or a Walmart distribution center or any number of things could be that. And that's what this program was there to do. And essentially that remains unchanged. The governor also jabbed at Senate Democrats for blocking approval of a revised two-year budget with an additional $1 billion in tax cuts he had recommended. The legislative work is not complete, Youngkin said. House Appropriations Chairman Barry Knight, Republican of Virginia Beach, said Friday that the budget negotiators want to review state revenue collections in April and May before acting on a budget. They're also, yeah, revenue collections. Jerks. They're also waiting for the outcome of a showdown in Congress over the debt ceiling with a potential deadline of June 1st for the U.S. to default on payment of existing debts. Youngkin has not announced April revenue results, but Knight said our revenues are still strong. So that's what's happening in Virginia. You know, not much. So that's what's been vetoed and signed lately. And that was in the last few hours that came out. You can find that at the Richmond Times-Dispatch website if you want to read it. I mean, it pretty much just read it for you. So not really much happened in Virginia. We have a divided House and Senate. We have the Democrats technically control the Senate by like one vote. And the Republicans control the House by more than one vote. So let's keep it that way. Gridlock is good. If nothing else, I'd rather have gridlock than have it in the hands of the communists. I've been listening to Nick Freitas a lot lately. He's been talking about some interesting things. One of the things he was talking about was he's got a show out that's titled They're Coming for Your Kids, which is pretty awful. And the things that they had to talk about in the show, definitely not a show you'd want to listen to with children around. But some of the stuff that these pervs on the LGBT and ABCDEFG movement are doing and the different things and just awful. So they couldn't get a bill passed that they've got transgender and homosexual pornographic books in these school libraries. They're graphic novels with pictures. They're there. And all this bill would have done would require the school to post a list of these books for parents to review. That's it. It wasn't a book burning. It wasn't any of the things. And I mean, it's just ridiculous. I have some audio. Take a listen to this.
I want to get to this, a hot mic moment, one that is causing a world of embarrassment, perhaps. Two Virginia Democrats caught mocking parents who are worried about their children. The state senators dismissed parental rights issues like shielding minors from pornography. They called it garbage and stupid. Watch this.
And online parental garbage on the pornography bill. But he sticks a bill on top that we've rejected twice. And said that the Senate Democrats were playing politics with children's lives. I mean, it's just all a part of this parental crap that they're selling.
This is why we have to keep the Senate. Because the House is in the hands of the Republicans, and they can push through all kinds of stupid things. And we rely on the Senate to kill it all.
Look, they have constituents. They lead a lot of people. So, of course, Fox News, we would reach out to those lawmakers to see if there's anything they'd like to say, because we are going to play that tape, as you just saw. No comment so far. We'll report it if that changes. Clay.
Look, what I would react to here, Harris, is you're a parent, I'm a parent. There's a lot of talk now about how crazy Republicans are being in trying to determine what books are appropriate for kids. And you'll hear all the time, I saw Mayor Pete the other day say, we're building bridges here in the Democrat Party, and they're trying to literally ban books. I believe that was his exact quote. No one's trying to ban books. Okay, this is important. And I think Republicans and also just really reasonable people need to do a better job of explaining this. We're talking about what's age appropriate. And if you don't take your kid to an R-rated movie, Harris, the movie isn't banned. You're just deciding it's not age appropriate right now for maybe your 13 or 14 year old to go see. That's what's going on in schools right now. What is appropriate to expose kids to in schools?
Well,
this is not anything new. We've been
doing
this for
generations. And who should decide that?
It's called parenting.
The parents. Yeah. Exactly. We both got to the same word. All right, Clay, I have to let you go.
So the Democrats in the Senate were the ones that caught on that. I don't think it was that the hot mic's not the right word. I think somebody, one of ours, was in there recording that. That's what it sounded like. It didn't sound like they were talking on microphones. So it sounded like a little round table. They were having a little open discussion, being a little too free with their thoughts, and someone caught it, which is great. Because they're always telling us, well, we're not trying to do this and we're not trying to do that, but they are. We're not trying to turn your kids into homosexuals. We're not trying to, groom your kids for our pedo rings, but they are. We're not trying to put child pornography or pornography into your schools, but they are. They're doing these things. This is the gaslighting. We're not trying to restrict your freedoms. Instead, they accuse us of wanting to ban books. Well, I do want to ban those books. I'm okay with that. Yep, I want to ban those books, but that's not even what's being advocated or tried. All they want is parental consent. And parental notification, that's too much to ask, apparently, from the Democrats. Let me put it to you this way. 100% of the Democrats voted no on that. 100%. Not one Democrat voted for that bill. So they can't say, oh, it's just a few of us. Or they can't say this is just a group of Democrats. They all voted against these bills. So they are coming for your kids. They want to do this. And frankly, a lot of this would be solved if you'd take your kids out of the government school. I've talked about this before, but here we are. Anybody keeps deciding, he keeps melting down and falling apart more and more. And yet everyone goes, well, golly gee, what's going on? We need to get a handle on that school board. Meanwhile, that's going to take, 4 to 12 years to sort out. And by then your kid's already out of school and now they've got blue hair. And they're, chopping off their body parts and or saying they're homosexual or whatever. So, okay, that's the route you're going to go. And, what can I say to that? I mean, take your kids out of school. Homeschool them, unschool them, private school them. $12,000 a year. That's how much I've spent to educate my children. One of them is about to graduate, so that's going to get a little lower. But, yeah, there's a cost. I didn't get to have the boat, the RV, and all the cool stuff I wanted for all those years. That's the way it is. That's my job. So, I did my job. Anything happens beyond that, my kids are human, and they are fallible, and things can happen. But it won't be for lack of me doing everything I could within my power to make sure that didn't happen. So Democrats are coming for your kids. The left wants your kids. We're the ones reproducing. Conservatives are the ones reproducing, and yet we send our kids that we reproduce into their system, which then propagandizes them, turns them into a bunch of communists and homosexuals and every other kind of deviancy. Because they're not producing. They're not having kids. It's very frustrating. Listen to Bumbling Bumbles as he bumbles his way through another speech. And I want you to specifically, now that you know and you've seen the video from January 6th where the police are just waving people through, and just right this way, folks. There was no breaking down of doors except for the one door where Ashley Babbitt was murdered by that police officer, unarmed Ashley Babbitt. Except for her and that group. Everything else was people just walking around. And there's an interesting article and some interesting information from a parliamentary standpoint of why some people are, thinking that this all went down the way it did and they were able to propagandize us the way it did, because then this justified them holding an emergency session of Congress, which took out a lot of the tools that Vice President Pence, although he was part of that, and others had to take a pause and make sure no illegal votes were done and things like that. But anyway, so January 6th is a total fraud. We've known it's been a total fraud. This is the ultimate gaslighting propaganda piece for the left. They've got three shots that they continue to play over and over again. And then a guy walking around with a buffalo head or something on, and then they're doing all this stuff, and it's terrible. But now here's Bumbles rambling on about putting a dagger to the democracy. Listen to this.
In January 2021, I stood in the U.S. Capitol to be inaugurated as President of the United States. Just days before, on that very spot, a violent insurrection took place. A dagger at the throat of democracy. For the first time in our history, an attempt to stop the peaceful transfer of power in this country. And they failed. Our democracy held. Again, hope prevailed. And this time, I was standing with a black woman about to take a 2-mile procession down Pennsylvania Avenue as President and Vice President of the United States of America. And who was marching alongside her? The Howard University Marching Band, in lockstep in solidarity. You were.
Yeah, I said it was Brown earlier. It was Howard that he was speaking at, and which is a all-black college, which is fine. I accept that we can't have all-white colleges, but I guess you can have an all-black college. Okay. But you hear it's the same old thing, it's like that. We're saving lives. When they can pump Joe up, get him mad, he seems to be able to get through a speech okay. He sounds a little ridiculous, but in any case, I guess he actually was able to read all the teleprompter that was going on there. But you hear that dagger to the throat of democracy. Well, I can think of a throat I'd like to see a dagger taken to, but that's for another conversation that doesn't involve recorded audio. Listen to the woman he mentioned that he was walking down, arm in arm with a black woman. And I'm not even sure that even happened. Honestly, I don't remember. I didn't watch the inauguration, but that might not have happened. Joe is a liar. He lies about everything all the time. But I have to point out that Kamala Harris is not a black woman. She's mixed race. I believe it's Jamaican and white or Indian. And she's not African American. She's a woman of color, which is what they're always telling us, right? But she's also an idiot. I mean, at least Joe Biden has the excuse of having dementia. And he's a liar and a disgusting, as Bongino calls him, rotting bag of oatmeal. But Kamala, listen to this. This is a gem because this is almost a repeat of everything else. Here's what I think's going on with Kamala. I think that she has just, her speechwriters don't even bother anymore because she doesn't listen to a word they say. She just, riffs and does her own thing, doesn't use a teleprompter. She's just, It's about the passage of time. So listen to this.
Let's check in with the most powerful woman in the world, the woman who is just one 80-year-old heartbeat away from becoming the leader of the free world. And what we love most about Kamala Harris on this show are her inspiring speeches. She gave another one this week.
For us at every moment in time, and certainly this one, to see the moment in time in which we exist and are present, and to be able to contextualize it, to understand where we exist in the history and in the moment as it relates not only to the past, but the future.
She really loves that phrase. She has given multiple speeches and gone on this rambling rant about a moment in time. I mean, I don't think she has much going on up top. I don't know if she's on drugs, drunk. Honestly, something is not right. But this is what the media does. They put up this facade of a person, and then when it actually that person gets elected, we have, you know, this going on. So it's shocking. And then we have remember Dianne Feinstein? She's a Democrat from California, and she's 90 years old. I think she's 89 technically, but in either case, she looks terrible. She looks like a Sith Lord. You know, like Emperor Palpatine. That's what she looks like. It's time to retire. She is in really terrible health, probably because she got the COVID vax. But either way, it's time to be done. And there's a time in life when you just can't do whatever it is you were doing. She can't anymore. And yet they're wheeling her in a wheelchair to participate in the Senate. It's absurd. It's cruel what the left does. I don't think I can think of a time when we've done this to our people. You know, we try to tell them, hey, you need to be done. John McCain would be the only example I could think where that wasn't the case. He kind of never wanted to go until he finally died. But there we have it in this moment of time, this passage of time. These speeches are just gold. They're gold. They're comedy gold. She's so dumb. And yet that is the person that is one 80-year-old heartbeat away from the presidency. So, great. It's something great to think about. So Title 42 ended, and now illegals by the hundreds of thousands are flooding across the border. And what Karine Jean-Pierre, I'm not going to play the audio, has said, if you've heard it, it's great. That illegal immigration, is it an all-time low? Is it a record low? Well, technically what she said is true. Because if you don't count somebody who's seeking asylum as an illegal, somebody who snuck across our border with the help of the Mexican cartels, this process is enriching the cartels. The cartels are having full-on, full-auto machine gun battles with the federales right on our border, literally right. You can hear it. There's audio of people have recorded this where machine gun fire is happening. There are full on battles happening between the cartel and the federales on the border. So, but in any case, this is gaslighting. So, what are you talking about? Illegal immigration is a historic low. No, it's not. Let's call it this. Unauthorized border crossings are not in a historic low. They are at an all-time high, the highest they've ever been. Because what happens is you come here and say, I want asylum. Well, congratulations. You're not an illegal alien now. Here's a piece of paper on a date years from now and a work authorization for you to work while we sort this out and make sure that you're, seeking asylum. You with this little 12-year-old girl, and I know you've got face tattoos, but I'm sure you're an upstanding member of society, not somebody that was let out of prison in Juarez or Colombia or El Salvador. I'm sure you're just a great dude, and this must be your nice, lovely daughter, right? Not some little girl you're going to sell into sex slavery when you get across the border. This must be your daughter. And so we'll give you both asylum. Orale. And they have UN organizations, and they have the Red Cross helping these people and prepping these people, George Soros is helping pay for this. How did 15,000 Haitians get into Mexico and now to our border? How did that happen? How are all these Chinese people getting down there? Well, somebody's paying and helping to make this happen. This is an invasion. That is what this is. Don't let them believe, you know, lie to you and don't believe the lies. That's what this is. Don't believe anything that is coming out of the White House. When they say, oh, illegal immigration, we only have this many. These 1,200 troops that they sent down to the border aren't there with guns to point them at people and say, turn around. This whole like razor wire thing. Oh, we're putting razor, the Texas Guard, and we're going to put razor wire along the border so people can't get in. Yeah, except that it only goes for like 100 feet. It's all theater. Don't believe any of it. We're being invaded. And that's it. We're being invaded. What are you going to do about it? Oh, I know. Let's vote more. Vote harder. We need to vote. Right? That'll solve all these problems. That'll fix everything. I was recently at a Republican convention, and the guy that asked me to come to this is a friend. And so I came because he's a friend. I didn't come because I think that there's any political solution out of the mess that has been created for us. And the fact is that humans do not make changes until they have been put in a difficult spot. I finally reached a point where I wanted to buy a house. I've been that way for a long time, wanted to buy a house. But I finally reached the point where we made that happen, and it only took about a month and a half when the rent got high enough. When I got fed up with what it was costing to rent, we bought a house. So that pain in my pocketbook, I finally said, nope, I'm done. And I laid down the law and said, this is the way it is. We're doing this, and we did it. Now we've got a nice house that we own, that we're paying for. Well, the bank owns it, but we're paying the bank for it. And instead of, you know, we're building that equity ourselves instead of paying the landlord to build his. But that it was comfortable for many, many years until that rent started getting raised and raised and raised and raised until it hit that point of pain where me as a human said, I'm done with this. I don't want to do this anymore. So what we have to realize is that we're going to have to see $5 gas prices. We're going to have to see shortages of many, many items on the shelves. We're going to have to see communities completely overrun with illegal aliens, and they are illegal aliens, unauthorized aliens, asylum seekers, economic migrants. You can give them all these fancy names. They're illegal aliens. We're going to have to see that run amok. We're going to have to see crime and, you know, just all kinds of bad things. But I want you to think about this. Look at back history, not too far back. This kind of stuff isn't really that new. What's new is the type of people we are as a society, and what's new is the Marxism that's being used, and this division politics and all the stuff that's going on. That's new. And so I don't think, you know, this, we've seen crime and we've seen illegal immigration, we've seen bad economics, we've seen these things before, but what isn't something we've experienced is the absolute division we have as a country. We're so divided, but not just divided like I don't like those people, but divided in as I want to kill those people. They want you dead, and frankly, I want them dead. I hate communists. Everything I've learned and know about them, they're the worst that humanity has ever had to offer. And so I hate them. I don't like them. I don't want them here. You know, but I have something I want to tell you, because the Durham report just broke. Breaking news. The Durham report is out. 300 pages of blah. 2 years. Millions of dollars. All of this work for nothing. And I said this would happen back then. And, you know, this was part of the whole four-dimensional chess. And Trump has the servers. And, you know, he's going to win. And he didn't. And he had people that just, oh, honestly believed all this QAnon stuff that was out there. And I have the tapes to prove it. I talked about this in episode 20-39. That was the end of 2020, just after the election, just before Bumbles was sworn in, just before the farce of January 6th and all of these things that had happened. So listen to this prediction that I had back then. So what is this false hope I'm talking about? I'm talking about all the people, and maybe you're one of them, who is constantly defending the stupidity of what has gone on in one, the Republican Party, and the Trump administration. Now, I like Trump. So don't, just keep listening. There's a point here. I keep hearing this. He's playing 4D chess. Max Velocity talks about that. No, he's playing 4D chess. It's all part of the thing, man. They got the servers and they got this. And oh, yeah, it's da, 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 da. And oh, you know, Barr quitting. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's all part of the plan. Part of the plan. It's the new thing, man. He's got it covered. And I think genuinely Trump does want to solve the problem. He does want to drain the swamp, but can't quite get there. And that's because there is a deep state, and it is the most evil, embedded, Hydra-like thing that we've ever experienced. And COVID-19 is part of it. It has only made it worse, especially at the state level, how that plays out. But 4D chess. Oh, he's playing 4D chess. You kept hearing it. I'm still hearing it from people. It's okay, because it's not over yet. It's not over yet, isn't it? I mean, it may, miracles happen. But the reason I don't think that a miracle is going to happen here is because for 4 years, we have put up with the deep state. We've put up with these communist rat Democrats doing what they do, saying what they say, spreading their lies and deception, and we're waiting, and we're waiting, and we're waiting. Where are the charges? Where is the indictment? Oh, it's coming, friends. He's playing 4D chess. QAnon says this. This website says that. This podcaster said this. Oh, it's going to come now. It's false hope. And should we be surprised? We are told not to put our hope in men. And so many people have put their hope in Donald Trump. I like the guy. I voted for him twice. I don't mean twice in this election. Maybe that was the solution. Maybe we just all needed to vote 5 or 6 times. Although, you know, if they're deleting ballots and bringing them in by the truckload, don't know how much that means to anything. Make no mistake of my statements that I think that there's any legitimacy in this latest election. Bumbles the Demented is not the president. Don't care what anybody calls him. You have to have been elected. There has to not have been fraud. There has to not have been foreign intervention in our elections, all of which have happened. So don't get me wrong. But there's coming a day when they're going to swear in Bumbles the Demented. And when that happens, look out. Look out. Your guns aren't safe. Your family's not safe. The schools that they go to, government or private, are not safe. The border, might as well, that 450 miles they've built, you might as well tear it down. That's how good it'll be. So look out. This will be the most radical communist administration in the history of our nation. In the history of our nation. In the history of lots of nations, actually. And I can get into the reasons why, and I might do that in a future podcast, but my point is there comes a point when you have to look at reality that is right in front of you, in front of your face, and understand, okay, I guess Trump's not going to be the president. Legitimate or illegitimate, the reality is the reality. So what happens now? So that's from the end of 2020, and I was right. I don't want to be right. I wish I could look back and go, hey, I totally blew it. I blew this call. Bumbles has been outstanding. Bumbles has protected America. Bumbles has stood up against the global cabals. That didn't happen. But I'll tell you one, a couple of things we've learned out of January 6th and out of various militia happenings and various things. We've learned things like that they use geofencing. Now, geofencing, and this is a little bit of a tangent, but I think it will make sense in the scope of this. Now, let's say you're going to go operational. You know what I mean when I say that, doing Patriot stuff, right? And you took your phone with you, and you forgot to turn it off, and you went and did Patriot stuff. Well, they could get a geofence warrant that says, I want to know every phone that was in this area right here, this 5-mile circle right here, between these hours. And then one by one, they trace those phones back, and they go to where they were, where they are. They walk, you know, they analyze, and they find out, well, that's a granny. She's 90 years old. That's not who we're looking for. And, oh, look, there's this cluster. And this cluster of three people, four people, two people, whatever, they went and they did this Patriot stuff, and we suspect. And so we need to get now, we need to expand this warrant, and we want to follow them home. And so then they get that. And they follow you home, and they find out who you are and all this stuff. And then they got you, which is how they got a lot of the January 6th folks. This is what we learned. This is how suddenly people were getting knocks on the door. Well, that's weird. They must have some amazing facial recognition technology. No, that's not it. They use geofence warrants. And probably some other shady stuff that is not legal, but whatever. They're the FBI. Faking bogus investigations is their game. So we did learn that out of all this, and we have learned a few other things. One, if you're not part of the intersectionality, you know, special class of people, if you're not a black, Hispanic, lesbian, transgender something, you're probably not going to get a job in the government. But we've also learned some good things about that, is that they pick the dumbest people in the room. That's good and bad. It's good because nothing gets done. It's bad because what does get done is terrible. Oh, look at our southern border. Look at the energy policy. Oh, speaking of energy policy, did you hear this one? That the Department of Energy is asking Americans to help conserve and protect the climate by setting their air conditioners to 81 degrees. And I'm thinking 81 degrees. I might as well not have air conditioning if I set it at 81 degrees. You know, the humidity and everything else that goes on in Virginia. I don't think so, man. You better shut my power off, because it's the only dang way that I'm going to live in 81 degrees. I don't care what I got to sacrifice. I'll not eat before I'm going to put my house and set my thermostat at 81 degrees. Idiots. This is what the problem is. We're surrounded by idiots. So look at Pete Buttigieg and the whole train derailment fiasco. Everyone's kind of forgot about that. I haven't. But time and time again, we're surrounded by these blithering idiots. Well, this is actually a cultural rot problem. But we're learning a lot by watching them. But ultimately, what I'm trying to get at is that it's going to have to get a lot worse, much, much worse, before Americans will wake up to what is going on right in front of them. They're being punched in the face over and over and stomped on with a boot. And it's like a dream. It's like they don't wake up to what is going on right in front of them. And until that pain is painful enough. You know, you ever fallen asleep on your arm and it kind of makes its way into your dream that something hurts? Until it finally hurts so bad because it is literally all the circulation has been cut off that you wake up and you're like, oh my gosh. And you roll over and you try and shake out and get some circulation going. you know, that's where we're at. That's where America's at. We're going to have to feel some of that pain before, as humans, before we make changes. And that's just the sad reality of things. All right, let's talk about the difference between conservatives and anti-communists. Conservatives, too lazy to study how neo-communists and their language works, like ESG. Anti-communists always study how neo-communists and their language work, like ESG. Conservatives believe that communism is about an ideology, only about economics, stuck in the 1980s mindset. Anti-communists understand that communism is a fanatical religion that seeks to replace or subvert all other religions. Conservatives react to leftist provocations and their bait. Anti-communists have plans to make the left react and fall into traps. Conservatives are gullible enough to fall for leftist promises and apologies. Anti-communists know how the narrative and media game works and how to shift it. Conservatives are willing to give up to the first sign, are willing to give up at the first sign of discomfort or being called a racist, sexist, transphobe. Used to be homophobe, now it's transphobe. I really wish Rush was around so he could analyze that stuff. It would be great. Anti-communists understand neo-communists will call you names no matter what you do if you don't obey them. Very true. Remember, go back and listen to the I Led Three Lives chapters. Conservatives won't engage in activism as a matter of pride, saying we're too busy with actual jobs. Anti-communists understand if neo-communists win, say goodbye to your jobs anyway. So, hope that helps you figure out. I wonder where you are in that. I would guess most of you are leaning towards the anti-communist side. I hate communists. It's part of the theme of this show. So,
hi, I'm Gil Fulbright. The people who run my campaign, they've made this commercial, and I'm in it. This campaign, it's not about me. It's about crafting a version of me that'll appeal to you. A version that visits random work sites with paid actors pointing at things. A version of me that doesn't find old people loathsome or pointless. Has a conventionally attractive yet curiously still family. Listening to my constituents, legislating, these are things I don't do. What I do is spend about 70% of my time raising funds for re-election. I'd do anything to stay in office. My name's Gil Fulbright, but hell, I'll change my name to Phil Goldbright or Bill Fulbright or fill up my mouth with farts. These are the things that are important to me. And these are the fine people that finance my campaign. Now, in order to do these things, I have to stay in office. And to stay in office, I have to keep these guys happy. Now, if any of these things make these guys unhappy, well, my hands are tied. So come November, the choice is clear. Do you want another spineless mouthpiece for special interest and lobbyists? Or a spineless mouthpiece for special interest and lobbyists? I'm Philip a Mouth with Farts, and I approve this message.
Now that is some honest political advertising that I can get behind. I'm going to support that Philip My Mouth With Farts guy. He looks like a real trustworthy guy. if only they were that honest. Well, we wouldn't vote for them. That's what would happen. So this week and the next couple weeks, listen for the lies that you're being told. Listen for the accusations that should make you grovel for the gall that you have to have been born and to exist on this earth as a white person or any person that's not the expected person that they are looking for, whatever race you are, if you're a straight male of any kind. Apparently that's bad these days. So something you should be doing. Look at Sam Culper and what he's doing over at his Gray Zone stuff and some of the courses that he's offering. Look at the local intelligence analysis that you could be doing. You know, you can use the GIS to build a a profile of all your neighbors. You can dive deeper using social media to figure out who they are, and you can find out which ones could be a problem if things really went sideways because they're communists, and then you could also probably find a few in there that are solid patriots. Remember, you were not made to fit in, you were born to stand out. I'm Hank Reardon, this is Radio Free Virginia. God bless you.